Pete's Community Cafe, a presentation this morning of Flagstaff Collision Center, your best decision after a collision. Our conversation this morning will focus on forest health and the Greater Flagstaff Forests Partnership with Jay Smith and Andrew Sanchez-Metter. Welcome, guys. Good to see you. And we've got some important stuff to discuss in light of recent events and the overall forest health scenario. So let's get after it. And Jay, I'll start with you. Maybe you could explain what the Greater Flagstaff Forest Partnership is and what you're aiming to achieve.
All right. Thank you, Peter. As a member of GFFP and a board member, we strive to be a community-based organization that's looking for ways to not only do research, but do practical implementation of forest thinning in areas around Flagstaff and throughout Coconino County, really. We don't want to just stay specifically in Flagstaff area. So we're just looking for ways to educate, to get communities involved with forest restoration, understanding why we do the things we do, why we're trying to protect our communities from wildfire.
Concerning preparedness, there's a new website. It's called cocowildfire.org. That's one of our main messages this morning, and it's a collaboration of a lot of different organizations, and it's a network to keep the public informed.
Right. We were looking for a one-stop shop website that people could go to in the community. This is for Coconino County only, really. That's all we focus on. So when there's smoke in the air, when you see a fire, you can go to this website and find out the information you might need if you have pets, if you have large animals. You know, how do I get prepared for this if I have to evacuate? And it brings you to a lot of different websites. So it's not something that's going to be updated every day on what a fire is doing. It's going to get you the information and where to go to get all the information you need. And it's really a collaboration between the county, GFFP, the Fire Adaptive Communities Learning Network, City of Flagstaff. There was a NAU and Ecological Restoration Institute. We all played a role in getting the information together.
Yeah, being ready and being proactive is key in this regard, I think. And cocowildfire.org, your resource there as far as information. And flood mitigation. Boy, we have seen some bad flooding over the past few weeks, and this is primarily a result of fire scars from past fires creating flooding in communities and directly in Flagstaff, and it's been a horrific situation.
Yeah, the post-fire flooding, unfortunately, Flagstaff has had to deal with that quite a bit in the past couple decades, And on top of that, we're also seeing, you know, flooding that's not really related to the fire scars. The flooding that took place in Shadow Mountain and Upper Greenlaw, you know, that was just a 200 to 500 year event, and unfortunately, those are becoming more frequent, and we're just going to have to figure out how to deal with those too.
We're talking the Greater Flagstaff Forests Partnership with Andrew Sanchez-Metter and Jay Smith. Jay, you just mentioned Fire Adaptive Communities. That's a network, and it's a national organization. Maybe you could explain what it aims to do and how Flagstaff's involved.
Yeah, so GFFP is kind of the representative for Fire Adaptive Communities in this area, and they work really hard with getting with communities, looking for communities that want to band together to make their communities fire safe. Wildfire risk reduction. So cleaning up pine needles, finding out ways to protect your home from wildfires. And this Fire Adaptive Communities Network, being nationwide, they help those communities then, and you get certification for being a Fire Adaptive Community. Those things can help sometimes with homeowners insurance. They can, you know, it just reaches more than just being safe. So we work really hard to try to educate and then get people to be active in their communities to clean up pine needles and be ready for fire season.
Andrew, over to you. As far as the national scene and some of these catastrophic mega fires and the trend that we're seeing concerning forests burning whole scale, hundreds of square miles in kind of an unprecedented pattern. In Arizona, we haven't seen that in a while. That is, for example, the Rodeo Chedisky as a prime example of that sort of event. But can you speak to the causes and the aftermath and how we got to where we are?
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, you know, it's a wicked problem, right? It's a wicked problem being a problem that's hard for society and people to get their heads around and solve. We're basically where we are due to a variety of things. And this forest we live in here in Flagstaff is predominantly a ponderosa pine forest. It's a forest that's adapted and needs fire. But unfortunately, around the turn of the century, late 1800s, early 1900s, as the movement west happened, we created a scenario that resulted in regeneration, trees, just densities being high, which created a lot of fuel. And the culmination of that, along with the removal of natural fire, we really started seeing the effects of that in the late 80s and the early 90s, mid-90s here in Flagstaff, culminating with like 2002 in Rodeo Chedisky, 2011 with the Wallow Fire, some of these more recent fires like Schultz and specifically the museum fire. Just, yeah. You know, too many trees in a system that needs fire, and when we see fire show up in it, it does not behave the way it would have behaved characteristically in the past.
Certainly historical drought doesn't help.
Yeah, you tack drought on top of it, you tack on top of it the lack of markets and limited ability to get wood out of the forest when we thin it. It just creates a lot of scenarios that allow fires to behave in a way that we've never seen before.
One of the things I'll often say in my day-to-day announcements on the air is, folks, it looks nice and green out there, but we're actually under extreme fire danger. But not in this exact moment right now, but June can be a scary month here in northern Arizona, where you have people ignorant of the fact that this situation is desperate and things are extremely dry. And even though it looks green, it's a bad situation.
It's a tinderbox a lot of times in that time of year, because the low relative humidity starts to dry out not just the fine fuels. We all understand the pine needles are dry, but when those heavy fuels, what the firefighters go out and measure is how much moisture is in those heavy fuels. And when they're dry, and when the living trees are dry because there's no moisture, it just makes that scenario to have these firestorms.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that the trees are so dry is that there's too many of them.
Yeah,
there's
that's
not
correct.
There's not enough.
We call them pine straws. They suck up so much water out of the ground. You know, that's one of the positive results from forest restoration, is that we can actually get more water into our system, our aquifers, through thinning of trees.
Yeah, we've got to do more as far as prevention of these wildfires through being proactive and restoring the forest to its former state.
Yeah, so what we do know, you know, due to the variety of research that's taken place here in Flagstaff back to the early 1900s, is that these forests don't look the way that they would have looked before, you know, settlers got here. You mentioned the monsoons. We know that these forests were open and they were grass-dominated. And so on the Mogollon Rim, when the monsoons would come, those lightning strikes would start fires that could burn large areas, but really low intensity and have a very low impact in terms of tree mortality. Today, though, when those lightning storms start, there's just too much fuel, and they burn uncharacteristically. What we do know, though, is if we can get the tree density lower, that then allows us to reintroduce fire and allow fire to serve its natural purpose on the landscape. And you're right, we just need to do that. We need to do it at a scale that's comparable to the disturbances we're seeing, and we're kind of working against the clock.
Andrew and Jay are here from the Greater Flagstaff Forest Partnership. Jay, what's your day job, and how does that dovetail with your work with the partnership?
So I'm the Forest Restoration Director for Coconino County, where we've started to play more of an active role on helping to manage some of the federal land. Not really manage, but pay for some of this stuff, especially the restoration treatments on steep ground, is very expensive. And the federal government doesn't have the money, or they're not giving the Forest Service the right money to do that work. So we come in through our flood control district to put money toward that, to look at the long term, say we would rather put $2, $3, $5 million into a project, knowing that we could be protecting our economy, our towns, our communities, you know, that could be upwards of $800 million impact. So the cost benefit is there for the county to do that.
Andrew, what about you? What do you do? How did they recruit you to be on the board?
Yeah, so on the board, I kind of serve in the science capacity. So I'm the executive director for NAU's Ecological Restoration Institute. I'm also an associate professor in the School of Forestry here. And my primary role, you know, in the science capacity is serving as the director of the institute, which is, it's one of three national institutes. We have sister institutes in New Mexico at New Mexico Highlands and in Colorado at Colorado State University. And we are a unique kind of entity that brings to bear the assets of the university on solving the problem of these unnatural, uncharacteristic wildfires, and, you know, also looking at trying to find ways to mitigate the effects of those fires and also mitigate the effects of climate change.
Guys, we're out of time, but I wanted to finish out with CocoWildfire.org, and I know that this is a new resource and a one-stop shop of sorts, if you will, to get the info out there and to get folks registered and sign up. Is there a way for you to get notifications, or is that apart from Coconino Emergency Management?
So everything we want to go through the Coconino Emergency Management, the Ready, Set, Go program, we want you to sign up for that. The Coco Wildfire is more of a resource to get you information about a fire, how to prepare for evacuation, but the Ready, Set, Go is the actual program that will hit your phone to tell you that it's time to get ready or it's time to go.
Yeah, and certainly the Coconino National Forest is a huge entity. So when you talk about and Coconino County, the second largest county area-wise in the country, you've got a massive job as far as, you know, the scope of acreage and the whole geography of the scene.
Yeah, we can have, you know, a fire in one part of the county and flooding in the Grand Canyon it is widespread on what we can be dealing with any day to day. So getting people to be proactive in their own protection is really helpful for the county.
Andrew, folks want to find out more about the Greater Flagstaff Forests Partnership. What's the best resource?
I think that would be the website, so gffp.org.
And the .org indicates a nonprofit and a governmental collaboration, right?
That is correct. Yeah, and I would encourage people to take a look at it and to consume this information so that they're better informed. You know, Flagstaff sits in a ponderosa pine forest that evolved with fire, and fire is going to be part of this landscape in our lives, whether we want it or not. And it's important that people understand the information associated with that.
GFFP.org. Board members Jay Smith and Andrew Sanchez Metter, thanks for your advocacy and your information, and we'll have you back on again soon.
Thank you.
Pete's Community Cafe, brought to you by our friends at Flagstaff Collision Center, your best decision after a collision.